This is the Pitch Vision Mind Cricket Coach Show number 72. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I have the show all to myself because Kevin's away. He's on a top secret mission behind enemy lines or something like that. But I will be joined this week by two interviewees. Gary Palmer is back, and this time he has an opinion about coaching players with big egos. Plus, we have the final instalment of our wide-ranging interview with Will James, ECB psychologist. Finally, stay tuned to the show to the end, because I'll be running a competition this week that's exclusive to the listeners of this show. As you know, Pitch Vision's batting coach, Gary Palmer, is a former first-class cricketer who now helps young cricketers make it in the professional game with his CCM Academy. Now, you can find out more about Gary at pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Let's have a listen to what Gary has to say this week.
A lot of coaches in this day and age, whether they're public schools or they're with county young players, you know, we all come up against a problem of egos, players with egos. I'm lucky with the academy I work at because there are very few boys there who have egos. It's quite simple. They respect us because we're older than them. They respect us because we've played professional cricket. They respect us because we're qualified. And basically, we just tell them what to do with the right knowledge. They do it. They progress really, really quickly. And it is a partnership made in heaven. It works brilliantly. But, you know, when you go to coach players, that are some professional cricketers, some international cricketers that have egos, then it takes a hell of a long time to move on and improve their techniques and their performance. It doesn't always follow suit that if you play international cricket, you're brilliant at understanding your own technique. You'll understand the mental side of the game because you've been immersed in it quite a lot and you've learned from that. You'll understand the tactical side of the game. But you'd be surprised how many county cricketers and international cricketers don't know as much about what is correct and what isn't within their technique. But there are people out there that are quite happy to say, well, actually, I've done this and I've done that, so I'm not listening to you. And it's an ego thing. And I think people have talked to me about business, and they said, same in business. Drop the ego, and then you can really, really excel and move on. Because while you're standing there as a batter who's played county cricket saying, well, I think you should do it like this, and I think you should do it like that, and I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try this. Well, while you're trying what could be the wrong things, you may get a load of low scores and may get dropped and go into second team, and 2 years later be sacked. It makes a lot more sense to get a coach that you believe in and to just listen to their every word. Put them in charge of your technical development. You learn from them. You implement it yourself. And you become a really, really top cricketer. But, you know, ego's a massive, massive, massive problem. And then for me, it's not about how many hundreds of players have scored or how many international cricket matches they've played. It's about how many hours and how many different experiences they've had as coaches. It's about coaching. It's not about going out there yourself and scoring 100. And they're two totally, totally different things. You don't learn to become a good coach by just going on a few different courses. You learn it with years and years and years and years of coaching, different experiences, making mistakes, learning from those mistakes, working with different types of people, different types of groups, different types of situations. That's how you learn to coach. And there's nothing wrong with being a coach that actually steps in and tells somebody, you know, in a nice way, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you need to do, and this is the drill we're going to do to sort it out. Don't be frightened if you know what you're talking about to step in and make a change. But don't make a change with someone if they're playing really well at top level, because what they do obviously works. But you've got to be very careful when you're talking to players, saying, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And how does that feel? And how does this feel? Because sometimes they look at you and think, do you actually know what you're talking about? And you can lose a little bit of credibility. The ideal is to keep a balance between the two. And asking a player to work it out for themselves, sometimes, like I say, it's too complicated. It's trial and error. If I was being coached, I'd want someone who knows what they're talking about to come up to me and say, this is why you're not getting any runs, because you're doing this. You need to do that, that, and that. And these are the practices you need to do. I'll just go away and do it. Get on with it. Nice and easy, nice and simple. Get better. Now, I've chatted there a little bit about, you know, some of the problems we have as coaches coming up against players who have egos. But, you know, we also have problems with coaches that have egos. You know, and if you're a coach, the bottom line for you as a coach is that it's not about you. It's about the team or the individual that you are coaching. It's all about them, not you. So when you go into a room, don't worry about doing a plan that makes you look good or something you've done on your latest course and you think you need to get that out and try that. Try and be flexible. Look at your group. Look at your players and think, what do I need to do for them? You know. And also, when you chat to kids as a coach, you've got to keep the chit-chat to a minimum. Anything beyond 5 minutes is too much. So a little tip for the coaches, maximum activity. Keep it moving. As much as you'd like to show the kids what you know, and we all like to do it, we've all been there, just try and keep it nice and simple. Minimise the chit-chat, lots of activity, and try and deliver what you think they need. One thing that's particularly awkward for young cricketers is that they do get lots of, you know, they can be coached by lots of different coaches, and they get conflicting bits of information. You know, everybody seems to have a different idea on how they should play a particular shot. Personally, I think, you know, there's only one biomechanically sound way to play a straight drive, an off drive, a non-drive, both front and back foot. If we all knew what that was, wouldn't life be simple? Because all the coaches would be saying that, all the players would be getting it crystal clear, and we'd be moving forward pretty quickly. But when a player does get a lot of information, this is what the player should do. Listen to it. And while you're being coached and you're trying to hit these balls, if you're not improving your performance and hitting your target areas within quite a short space of time, and you're doing what the coach wants you to do, you may well have to question what that coach is asking you. Now, if it feels uncomfortable, feels strange, but the outcome is that you're hitting lovely straight drives and hitting your target area all the time, you misjudge what you want to do on your outcome. Because that's what it's about at the end of the day. And the more you do your shots, once you've worked out the right technique, which doesn't feel quite right because you haven't been doing it before, but once you start grooving that technique, the outcome's already good, and then the feeling couples with it, and you're there. You've got your shot sorted out. And any good coach, you know, when they say something to a player, they would want to see that technique improved or sorted out within 4 or 5 more deliveries off a machine or off a throwdown. But if you find as a player you just can't hit the ball where you're supposed to, it feels nice, but you can't hit the ball in the right target areas, the chances are you're not doing it the right way, or you've not been told to do it the right way. Worth thinking about. It's about the outcome. Can I hit a ball on off stump through mid off? Yes, I can. Can I hit a straight ball straight back down the wicket? Yes. Can I hit a ball on leg stump through mid on? Yes. Am I doing that well aligned, well balanced with good completion of shot? Yes. Does it feel strange? Yeah, it does, because I've never done it like that before, but actually I can do it really well now. So I'm going to go away and I'm going to keep doing it. If you can't hit those areas, you've got to be doing something wrong. And if the coach it still gives you information and you still can't do it, maybe you need to just sort of smile sweetly and say, yeah, I'm doing my best, and maybe what they're telling you isn't right. Because that can happen from time to time. There's only one way to play, you know, a straight drive, an off drive, an on drive. But as coaches, we've all got lots of different drills and innovative practices that we use and dream up to try and get the same end product. So that's where we vary as coaches in a positive way. We're all slightly different. We're all forward thinking. How can we get little Johnny to a perfect drive? Well, I'm going to do a bobble feed. I'm going to put some cones there. I'm going to do this. But at the end of the day, the script that we're all working from for the technical data of that shot should be exactly the same. And we've all got to have the same good technique or work towards the same technique. Some will get closer to it than others. And once you get in the match with that good technique, your scoring areas are your choice, depending on the bowlers and the pitch and the match situation. And batsmen or women will go about it different ways, trying it different areas, scoring their runs. But they must have that core perfect technique to fall back on and to execute their flair from.
Thanks, Gary. And if you'd like coaching from Gary Palmer, you can attend his academy, or you can get his drills and tips online. For more information, visit pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Next up on the My Cricket Coach Show, we have the final part of our interview with Dr. Will James, a psychologist with the ECB. In his other life, he works for a company called Lane 4, helping businesses and organisations with leadership development, teamwork and executive coaching. So if anybody knows about the thought processes of performance, it's him. Let's catch up with the interview now. There's a cliche about captaincy or the man management side of captaincy that you either need to know who needs a kick up the behind or who needs an arm around the shoulder. Is dealing with different personalities more complex than that?
No, I think it is as simple as that. I think it's often first and foremost that coaches and captains recognise that what works for one person doesn't work for everyone else. And I really feel still that that's a miss or something that's not understood by enough people, whether you're a captain, a coach, or even a teammate. And maybe people get it intuitively, maybe they get it implicitly, but I think sometimes you've got to make it really explicit and actually make it a part of preparation, whether you're doing it as a coach and a captain, thinking about each person in the team, what they need, what don't I know about this person, what do I need to know in order to be able to be a catalyst for their performance. And that sparks off hopefully some good conversations about motivation, about things that stress people out, and pressure, and what makes people feel confident and comfortable, and builds that whole relationship really. So I think, you know, it's something that we can't overemphasize the importance of, but also, yes, you can psychometrically test people and you can understand their personality. And certainly in elite sport and business, we do that, but you know, it can be timely and it can be quite costly. I think it doesn't replace, because we would do that alongside some of the basic conversations that need to be had around, you know, what gets you going, what makes you feel good, what makes you feel confident, what undermines that, what is it I do as a captain that really helps you, what is it I do as a captain that doesn't help you. Common sense not commonly applied, I think.
So if you're a coach or a captain and you're trying to get better at reading people, trying to understand a little more how people tick,
yeah,
is it just a matter of asking them, or can you, or do you have to sort of learn how people react to certain things over time?
I think you have to learn, and I think you can ask. Sometimes people wouldn't know, will they? I mean, you know, if I even within in the world of high level sport or business, you can ask questions of people, and you know, how do you tick? What gets you up, and you know, what is it you're doing this for? And often people won't know straight away. And if time's a premium, then I think, you know, it may be frustrating to ask those questions and people not know the answers. I think there's certain things you can observe. So I think, for example, in, you know, just looking at basic personality, you know, you'll have people who are more introverted and more extroverted. The more introverted people are likely to be people who don't say as much in public sessions, who like to go away and need to go away and reflect on things before they comment. So to try and to get frustrated about those sort of individuals and say, well, no one says anything in a meeting, is a classic mistake that coaches, captains, leaders make, which is not necessarily thinking, what could I do to help that player to contribute? It's, well, he doesn't say anything or she doesn't say anything. So I think, you know, a simple tactic there would be recognizing your group, who your introverts and extroverts are, who are the people who always talk, who are the people who don't talk, and try and find a way of helping the people who talk very easily to give them more space to think it through and force them to think things through. And similarly, for people who need the time to think it through, then find a way of setting up a session so, you know, you can maybe ask them some questions the day before and then say, look, I'd like to touch base with you on these tomorrow. They've had time to think about them. Or in a team meeting session, then break into smaller groups. Don't expect the introverts to contribute all the time in large group settings. Get them to work with a partner. Get them to think it through on their own. So, you know, at a very superficial and simple level, but amazing how much we have to deal with that at even at the elite level of sport and in cricket. It's just understanding people will have different preferences for different things, whether it be for, you know, for meetings and how long they spend on them, for thinking things through and making sense of things. You know, there's a whole load of stuff that we need to consider.
And speaking of different personalities, are some people just better at reading people than others? You've got that knack for it?
People who understand themselves and have been through that themselves, which we might call people who are more self-aware, are going to be far better at being socially aware and understanding and standing in someone else's shoes and thinking about what it might mean. Now, it's not always a given that just because people know about themselves they're going to always do that, but they will have far more ability to do that. So one of the things we often do with advice is young coaches and captains is to get them thinking of themselves first and exploring themselves, their own emotions, their emotional reactions to certain situations, their own motivations, and then think, now you've done it for yourself, it'll be a lot easier for you to help other people do that and to think as if you're them and to get inside their head, if you like.
If you could give a young player just three tips to become stronger mentally, what would you say to them?
Okay, I think first and foremost, a big ingredient is belief, and too often players work, especially as they get into their teens and beyond, they work on what they're not good at. And I'm not saying, advocating for 1 minute, that we shouldn't attend to some of our areas of need for development, but we have to work on what we're good at and make them even better and even stronger, and find different ways of doing that. So an example would be Kevin Peterson, very, very good at taking the game to an opposition. And if all we started to work on with KP was, you know, his defensive game, then you're taking away what makes him a great player. What we might ask is how will he play to his strength in a different way as bowlers start to work him out. Second tip we might have is to recognise that if you're going to be able to handle a pressure and adversity, then you have to practice handling pressure and adversity. So make your training as tough and as hard as you can. Make it as real as you can. Give the advantage to other people. And off the back of that, then work out what skills you might need to develop. And thirdly, I guess, in terms of motivation, don't lose sight of why you play the game. It's very easy as you climb the ladder to start to get rewarded externally, and to start doing things only when you get rewarded externally. And I think keeping a really strong, clear vision of what you love about the game and what you're trying to achieve and the excitement hopefully will keep you very grounded, but also keep you very focused. So on the down days when it's not quite happening, when the reward doesn't happen, you don't get picked for a team, or you know, you don't get the runs you want, or you're feeling nervous about a selector watching, or whatever it could be, you don't lose that perspective, which says, do you know what? The most important thing I do today is to go out and I learn something from today and I get better from it. Or I make sure that I enjoy the battle. I enjoy what I loved to do as a kid when I was playing on the street, which was just experiment, play, and enjoy the battle. And of course, I want to win of it, but I mustn't lose sight of that side of it.
Thanks, Will. And if you missed any of the previous parts of that interview, you can get the whole thing by listening back to the last couple of shows. And you can catch those either at pitchvision.com or you can go to iTunes and have a look for My Cricket Coach. You'll find us in there. Now, back at the start of the show, you might remember that I promised an exclusive competition for My Cricket Coach show listeners. Well, we want your questions and comments about the show, so we thought a little bribe might help. Every week from now on, I'll be offering a free online coaching course from our range at pitchvision.com/academy. And this week, I'm going to be asking for the best question or comment that we get. The rules are simple. Email a question or comment to the show on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com with the subject line podcast competition. You can ask a question about anything, technique, tactics, psychology, coaching, fitness and nutrition, or anything else related to playing better cricket. Or you can give us a comment, suggest an improvement to the show, offer a piece of advice about a question that you heard, give your feedback about people who we've interviewed, or people who you would like us to interview, anything. The show exists to give you what you want, so don't hold back. I'll pick the best question or comment of the week. I'll announce it here on the show next week, and then email you directly to give you the free course. And don't forget to put podcast competition into the subject line for it to count. And that's all for this week's show. Just a reminder that we are in iTunes, and you can subscribe by looking for My Cricket Coach in the search box, or heading over to pitchvision.com and clicking the iTunes logo in this week's show notes. You can get us anytime at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com, and don't worry, Kevin will be back next week. So until next time, this is David Hinchliffe on the My Cricket Coach Show, signing off.
I'll do my James Bond impression next week.
Your James Bond impression? What do you mean?
Like a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
It's your claim to fame, is it?
Yeah, that's only one of a few.